The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, fresh episode for you on a Friday afternoon. The Oilers are on a winning streak. The gang's all here except Tyler. He's driving down to Calgary for tomorrow's Battle of Alberta and also an Arkells concert that we bullied him into going to. But we have got Oilers to talk about. And as we do every week for our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, we've got a delicious debate from my friend Nation Dan.
Well, yes, Bag Milk, Tyler isn't here, so I was asked to come up on the fly with one. And yesterday, I don't know if you guys were on the internet, it was the big talk around the internet. The temporary locker rooms of the Arizona Coyotes came out. And of course, the internet, being as undefeated as it is, has been very nice to them and pleasant about them. My delicious debate question for you guys today is, if you had to spend an entire season using one locker room, which would you rather use? The Arizona Coyotes' new temporary locker room or the Calgary Flames' current home locker room?
I'll jump in. I'm going to take the Flames' dressing room because at least it is an actual room.
Fair enough.
I mean, those temporary structures that the Coyotes have, you know, for the short term.
Yep.
They remind me of when I was in elementary and you had to go get checked for lice. And there was always nurses behind curtains that were put up in the gym to make sure you didn't know which other kid had lice. That's what it reminds me of. So they're embarrassing. This is a professional. This is the highest tiered hockey league on earth. And they're playing in what looks like a makeshift COVID vaccination center.
Fair enough.
That's a great way of putting it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I thought.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Exactly, yeah.
I've got excellent ideas, Wells. But
people are getting like, people are defending it. I sort of kind of get it. It's four games, blah, blah, blah. But no one sits here believes that in 3 years they're going to be in a new arena, right?
I don't buy it at all.
Like, this is, there's no, we've gone through this. We've done it in Edmonton. You're watching it in Calgary. The building of a building is never a straight line.
No, it is like,
and okay, there's zero, maybe a little more than 0% chance that in 3 years they're playing in a new fucking arena. There's no chance.
Well, I think
it's not happening. Like, they haven't done it yet.
The thing is, you look at the commitment from Gary Bettman and the NHL to this just awful organization for so long. It's ridiculous. I get growing the game. Like, I totally do. I'm a huge fan of it. We've seen it happening already, you know, in the last 20, 30 years in the States, right? But like, come on, let's be real here. Like, this team has been a tire fire for a long time, and they need to move him out of there. They need to move him out of Arizona. That being said, give me their locker room.
Yeah. I think they're fine in Arizona, but this, like, everybody there needs to like just fully give in and like commit.
If they
because
were in,
they're not.
Well,
build them a real game arena in a real spot where it's close, where everybody can hit it, where it's close to the air. Like, just that's what you're supposed to build. Don't build them like 3 hours away. Like, it's just, it's stupidity.
I went to a game in Glendale. That whole area is amazing. There's restaurants, there's bars, there's the arena there, there's Cardinal Stadium is right across the parking lot. I get the reason why that spot was supposed to be the home for two pro teams. The difference is Arizona only plays 8 times a year out there. The Coyotes are supposed to play 41 times, and it is at least an hour out of Phoenix.
And how long have the Coyotes been in Arizona?
Oh, I don't even know. The funny thing about it too,
like,
is
96-ish. This should have been done by now.
Well, they should be done right now. And the funny thing to me is that, like, with the Atlanta Thrashers, they're like, this isn't working. And they're just like, okay, back to Winnipeg. Yeah, just strange, but with Coyotes, it is just, I don't know. I don't get it.
I hope they send them to Houston.
You can't, because you need those, because they need the fees that a new team starting.
Okay.
In our daily face-off Slack channel, me and Coomzy were talking yesterday about moving the Arizona Coyotes to Toronto and calling them Leafs 2.
They could probably do it.
They'd immediately come in and be better than the actual Toronto Maple Leafs.
Or just like, Quebec has a brand.
It's got like Quebec. Hamilton.
Could you imagine like that? I mean, Hamilton would be a good spot. I mean, Quebec City obviously is the spot.
The Leafs would never allow another team in
Ontario. No, I don't think they would.
I remember back when, before Vegas was a team, there was a suggestion they put a team in Markham.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Leafs would allow it. No. That just kind of encroaches on their territory, even though Ontario could fully support a third team.
What was Saskatchewan?
Saskatchewan's a province.
Yeah, but you put a team in there. Like,
could you call them the Rough Riders?
I don't know. I think they're getting tougher there.
You call them the Rough Riders and people just follow them around everywhere?
If you look at like the Rough Riders per se, they play once a week and people come from all over Saskatchewan to go, right?
Yeah.
When you've got the Saskatchewan playing on a Wednesday or a Tuesday in January when it's freezing.
Rick, I got to say, that name is not getting anybody in the stands.
Well, come on. Saskatchewan. Can we just give him a chance?
I'm still
not with that name.
My ideas before we put it on a jersey.
I'm not a very passionate hockey fan.
At least see it on a jersey first.
I'm still upset that when the Rush, the lacrosse team, moved from Edmonton to Saskatchewan, that they didn't call them the Rush Riders. It was right there.
That'd be so good.
So we've got a couple of answers here. We've got a Flames locker room.
Yeah, I'm going in the Flames because it's an actual room.
And Zach, you went with the Coyotes.
So just for the experience. I just think it would be cool. And you know what? The setup will collapse any day, guys.
It's like playing in a Christmas tournament in Arizona where you're like a little kid and there's a bunch of teams rolling through the arena and they had to get you somewhere.
It's like where you stand before you graduate.
I'll take Arizona because I don't want to be in Calgary's dressing room with having Jonathan Huberdeau's portrait staring at me while I sleep.
There you go.
They have portraits of the players in the dressing room.
That is weird.
It's very weird. I don't know. Like that.
I hate everything Calgary except for the Oodle Noodles opening up soon. So I'm going with Arizona.
And Singapore Sam's at 2 a.m.
That's true.
They have a nice river.
But is the Oodle Noodle in Calgary city limits?
It is.
Yes.
It's right on 7.
Yeah, that one is going to open up in November.
Ooh.
Dan, which dressing room are you taking?
I was going to go with the Coyotes room just because I think it would be funny to tear that thing down. Like, you know, you have a bad game, you're frustrated, just take some of those foldable chairs and start tossing them and see what else comes down around you. Because I think it would be really funny to see the people next to you as well.
I could also see in the post game, like someone just like a mom or someone from one of the players just pokes their head around the curtain like, baby, do you need a Gatorade?
Or somebody's been picking on somebody and the mom shows up. Get over here, Evander. I got a word to say to you.
Get a little table in the middle with some orange slices and juice boxes.
There you go.
Maybe a nice loony stick.
There you go.
Hey.
It's more spacious than the Flames room. That's the first thing I noticed right away. Yeah, which is something to say.
We are recording this podcast in the McDavid studio.
Yeah, this is new. You didn't bring it up to anybody. We're going to see videos and clips, and we're like, where are these guys now?
We're in the new place.
Different vibe. Yeah, it's great.
A little bit of a change in the background. We could not figure out how the TV works. So Dan came up with the idea, and I agree with it. I've been watching it the entire time of having the DVD video thing. And if I start screaming mid-podcast, you know it hit dead corner.
And if you're watching our clips and you see it hit the corner, add us with a timestamp and you'll win a prize.
Oh, so close.
I had no faith in that one.
All right, for our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash, the Delicious Debate, I'd love to know which dressing room you would like to be in if you had to choose. The Flams tiny little peanut dressing room that looks like it's from an arena in River Cabar, or the Arizona Coyotes, which is basically just curtains.
It's an arena floor. It's like you said it well, the old curtains that they used to pull across the gymnasium to separate that thing into four different gymnasiums. That's what they've got now for a locker room.
Only for four games.
But see, Rick, that's that. I take umbrage with that because it's only for four games because the entire schedule got remodeled for the Arizona Coyotes' benefit. They like, don't play at home for 2 months.
How amazing would it be?
But it happens to a lot of teams.
How amazing would it be to go to a game there, though? Going to a game in that arena, 5,000 people, you're right on top of it.
They did roll out the mullets tonight.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Greg Wyshynski tweeted out a photo that they've got like headbands that say Go Coyotes on the front, and it's got like blonde mullets on the back.
It is mullet arena.
Yeah, whatever, same thing. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato.
I'd love to go to a game there. You don't get to experience an NHL game in an arena that small ever. I just think it'd be cool.
We should start pronouncing it French. It's Moulet.
Yeah, Moulet Arena.
Moulet Arena. Well, because it's going to go to Quebec City at some point.
Of course.
The franchise is going there.
Mm-hmm. Might as well get started on it.
Yeah. Les Coyotes. That's what they're going to be called.
They should put a team in PEI.
They do have one. It's QMJHL.
Yeah, just put an NHL team. Just give the whole island a team.
No, it's the same thing with Saskatchewan, though. It's just like, the population's too spread out there.
And if you put one in Saskatchewan, you'd kill three junior teams.
Yeah, true.
Like, that's the thing. Like, Saskatchewan's a huge hockey province, but they're a huge junior hockey province.
Because that's all
they love their dub. They love their AAA, their AA. Like, that's exactly it. That's all
and
they have, right?
The other problem with PEI Newfoundland is the accessibility for all the other teams.
Mm. And also that
if you've got a storm rolling in, that team ain't getting in.
Oh, okay.
Also that it's 10% of the population in Edmonton. That is
for an entire island.
That is a problem. Getting back to the Oilers, I want to talk about last night's insanity in Chicago. I think for me, for my money, that is one of the weirdest hockey games, not just an Oilers game, but just a hockey game in general that I've watched in quite some time. There were 17 total penalties. There were some coincidentals in there as well. Rick, what'd you make of last night's weird one?
That's just what it was. It was weird. The one thing I got most upset about was the non-goal goal.
We'll get there.
Okay, like that to me was the biggest, most egregious play by the officials. The other ones, like I get it. It was frustrating. Mm-hmm. I was frustrated watching it. But if you went back and replayed the majority of them, you can't really argue too many of the penalties. No. Do I think they called it on like a international level, like the double IHF would? Yes. But both teams are sloppy.
Well, and that's where I give them credit, Rick. Not to jump in on you too much, but I give the refs credit because they started calling the game one way and they didn't change that. They didn't withdraw from it. They kept calling it that way. And the players were just like, half the time they skated to the bench like, yeah, I got a penalty. But
because they made like just, I mean, from the Bush holding call was, he's done that a couple times. You can't put your hand in front of him.
Yep.
If you want to do that, you kind of have to chicken wing it. So you're holding your elbow, but your hand's on the inside. And from the trips to like, it was just the Kane 4 minute annoyed the piss out of me because I don't think it was a 4 minute call. And they didn't call it as two singles. They announced it as Kane 4 minute cross checking. That's that's 1 4 minute penalty. If it was two, they would have said he got two for cross checking and two for cross checking.
There was also that annoyed me too because Kane took the first cross check. It didn't. The refs didn't see it. Okay, fine. He returns around.
Didn't see it, didn't call it.
Fair. Kane turns around, retaliates. He gets called for oddly two, but it wasn't like he was the only one in the mix there. The Blackhawks player was going right back at him too in that moment.
Right afterwards, there was a scrum between him and Jujar, and I love Jujar, but there was no roughing call there. Like, I mean, even if you give them both roughings after it, they picked out actual penalties, but after a game where there's 612 penalties, they still missed a bunch.
Yeah.
Zach, what do you make of that?
Yeah, it was just weird. It was just a weird game flow. Like 33 minutes of 5-on-5 time. Like that was absurd. Like, that's absurd. That's way, way too little 5-on-5. And you know what? It broke up the flow of the game too. And I think that's one of the tougher things too. Like once they start calling those penalties and they don't stop that way, it becomes difficult on all the players to get their legs back underneath them to play regular hockey.
Well, they said so in the second period, they said something like McDavid had only played 11 or 12 minutes or something like that at that point.
12 coming out of second was 12 minutes, something like that.
So
like Devin Shore played under 3 minutes last night. Dylan Holloway played 8 minutes.
He spent more time in the box.
Yeah, like seriously.
And his like hook call, I didn't like that one. I'm getting like if you're getting underneath to lift a guy's stick.
Yeah, that was a crazy one.
Come on. You're lifting the guy's stick. Are we not defending anything anymore?
How about that windshield he was rocking last night? I know he got his bell rung and then maybe like...
That's
not
even what it's for. I think he just rocks that big thing.
Because that thing is... That is the Danny Heatley 2009
windshield. That's what that was.
Get a little tint on there and he's looking like Alex Ovechkin on Saturday.
Waz, what do you think of last night's game against the Blackhawks?
Aside from the officiating, it was just very back and forth. It felt like every time we'd score one, they'd score one. It was just the other way around. It was very weird. But I feel like the officiating really just kind of overshadowed, you know, Connor's hat trick, Leon's game-winning goal on his birthday. It just felt like it was all about the officiating, which it shouldn't have been about. It should have been about the game.
I think it's more about the amount of penalties at the end of it.
It was weird. Like I don't know what else. It feels like every time we play Chicago, something crazy happens.
Let's talk about the Evander Kane non-goal call. Just give me a second here because I tried to piece it together in my head how they could even call it. I tried to step back and look at it as a hockey fan, not as an Oilers fan, and I'm still annoyed by it because Evander Kane gets thrown into the goaltender by Seth Jones. Mm-hmm. He admittedly, I'm going to say Evander Kane did not rush to get off Alex Stalock, but
him pretty quickly.
He does get off him. He's not like trying to keep him down in any way. Gets off, goes back out in front of the net, outside of the crease. Stalock then makes a save, lets the rebound go. Evander Kane picks it up, cashes it in the empty net. On the ice, the ref right beside the play calls it as a goal.
Such a weak call, too. Like, that ref had no confidence in that call. Either one, stick your chest out and point that's a goal, or two, stick your chest out and wave your arms and say it's no goal. Make a decision.
So to have them come back after their little conference and say, oh, call on the ice is no goal. Well, it wasn't call on the ice was no goal. Everybody had that screenshot of the ref going goal.
But they have their little committee, right? So we've seen it a trillion times, but I want to know who or what was said. I know lights went on here. Nice. Who or what was said to make the guy who was like 4 feet from the play, play, say, no, you are incorrect on what you saw. I was in the fucking stands over here so far away. How did he win that fucking conversation?
And I want to know also, what is Evander Kane supposed to do in that situation? Seth Jones is a big dude. He threw him on his own goaltender.
He pushed him there. It's blatant.
So what's he supposed to do?
Even if somehow that ref decides, you know what, I made the wrong call from 3 feet away and these other guys who were standing way far away saw it better somehow, we'll go with their call, no goal. How do you sit there, watch that video and go, nope, he went in there on his own. Like even in the write-up, it literally said, like it says nothing about the defenseman putting him in there. He says he put himself in that position.
Yeah.
So unless Jones is going as John Cena for Halloween, you had to have been able to see that guy.
So Dave Jackson, former referee,
yes,
but he works for ESPN now, slid into my DMs, or not my DMs, sorry, my mentions. Ooh, responded and said, low guy pointed to the goal. Yep. That means that the puck crossed the line. He never reported a goal to the timekeeper. All four refs got together and discussed it. Final decision on the ice, no goal. Kane was moved slightly, lost his balance, and fell on the goalie. Making a save doesn't matter. It was desperation. He never got a chance to fully reset. So there's two issues I have with that.
What?
First, the language that he used, that Dave uses here to say Kane was moved slightly, because that's a load of crap. And then secondly, making a save doesn't matter. It was desperation. Like, the player got back into position and was aware enough to try and make a play on the puck and then made that save. The puck goes out to Kane and he shoots the puck in the net.
I wonder if he had his stick, if that changes things.
Here's my theory. You want a tinfoil hat theory?
Yes, please.
If that's Nugent Hopkins, if that's McDavid, if that's anybody other than Evander Kane, that's a goal.
100%. Well, and also if the goalie gets up off of his keister and doesn't continue to try and milk the play from the referee's perspective, looking directly at the referee, complaining about it.
I think he got up pretty quickly.
I thought so too. Like, I thought he got up in time.
Because he knew damn well his defense and put him there. Yeah. And I can't sit here and sell this because I know I'm not being sold anything here. I need to get up and try and back this guy up. We just put the damn player on my lap.
So if it's goaltender interference, that referee needs to wave the goal off immediately.
Someone has to, please.
Like, if you're gonna commit to it being goalie interference, call a goalie interference. Like, it doesn't have to be this hard. And I just have to make note of this too. I think my favorite part of that entire sequence was Kane scoring the goal.
The celebration.
Everybody booing him. Kane skating by Chicago's bench.
Oh, he gave it all to him.
Just chirping every one of them. Like, I loved that swagger.
I love having that on our team.
So good.
The Oilers haven't had a guy. Well, it's not just that.
He can back it up with goals. He can back it up with his fists. He can back it up however you want.
100%. Because like we had Cassian for a long time and he would chirp. He would always run his mouth, but he was not out there backing it up with goals the way that Evander Kane can. And also, if you want to throw down with Evander, he's going to fill your face.
Nobody will fight him.
Like it's absolutely, nobody's going to drop the mitts with him.
They will skirmish with him. But as soon as it, like, you get that look in his eyes, they look for a guy wearing stripes and go behind him.
100%.
What do we think about it? About the referee being Chris Rooney, the same guy from 2017?
I need real evidence that this was the same. Because someone posted it yesterday. They, like, I did my research and they showed up, I think it was the game sheet, and had one ref, two linesmen. And I was like, well, no, I'm pretty sure we were playing two refs back then. So who the hell was the second ref? Did we just erase his name because you knew that damn well that thing was going to make its way to Edmonton?
Could be.
What would they tell Rooney? What would they tell Corey? Issue going forward,
Rick. What would they tell Corey?
Buddy, I no.
When I saw that tweet too, that it was the same ref from the Kessler
pad grab.
The first thing
pad I thought molesting.
Rick is going to get real mad.
I just looked at the game sheet from last night. It was Chris Rooney.
Okay, but now you got to check the game sheet from that game. Though. It was the Anaheim 17.
What game was it again?
It was game seven.
Game seven?
Yeah. It was. So someone showed up, and it was one ref, two linesmen on that game sheet from that night. So I don't know, but yes, Rooney was definitely last night.
What?
So yeah. Bag Milk, you tweeted it. I don't know if I've seen it a couple other places. I have a real issue with this because of one element and one element only. And that's the betting that has come into this league and the conversation that we've been having about real money being transacted on these things and the outcomes of that. Like I know that a savvy bettor, you know, would look at a referee making all the calls that they were making and they would maybe jump in because you're thinking more power play opportunities are coming. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's a real tough thing for me to reconcile that element of it.
Well, I don't even think those refs have like a reputation of calling a lot of calls. Like somebody would have said something yesterday. It was just they wanted a lot of attention.
Yeah, no,
they
got there. I guess that's where I was kind of saying is like live wise, you would jump in, right?
The real problem I had with like, because I posted on Instagram, like, good thing I'm betting real money on this game. That goaltender interference non-goal call has happened, what, 5-6 times already just in this NHL season, and there's no consistency on how the outcome is going to happen. I know every situation is different and the NHL moves at lightning speed, but there's, when that happens in any game, you have no idea how it's going to turn out because the refs are so inconsistent.
And it's so crazy too, because I haven't been able to do the digging yet, but I feel like there was a recent situation where a goalie was told that he had time to reset on a goal and then didn't get reset and the puck still went in and it counted.
The thing is, this isn't just an Oilers issue. It's a league issue, right? Yeah. Like people are going to like listen to this. Oh, why are Oilers fans still complaining? You guys won the game, da, da, da. But it's a league issue. It's going to affect other teams at some point. And it has been for the last couple of years now.
It's a total farce for anybody to say we shouldn't talk about it because we won the game. That's silly, because you know, just because you won in spite of the stupidity doesn't mean that stupidity isn't going to happen again. And it's going to happen in a more,
and when's it going to, yeah, exactly, when's it going to happen in a moment where it's a playoff game,
game seven, you know, what are we going to tell Corey? It's super frustrating as a hockey fan.
But I feel like this is an issue though across sports in general as well, like officials.
I feel like it's hockey's issue because hockey still has that adversarial approach to review. And as soon as a review comes in, you're proving a referee wrong.
No, they have to do it themselves.
Well,
they have to sit there and go, what? Like, I made a mistake here. No, take this directly out of their hands. Yeah. There are people sitting in Toronto or New York or some studio that's probably a little smaller than this because they're not quite as cool as we are. But they're sitting there, they're watching every damn game, and this is what they're supposed to do, is it not? Like, why do we sit there? Obviously, this ref has an issue with Kane. They've been going at each other all damn game. You cannot leave this in his hands.
I actually agree with that. Like, if you're going to go to a challenge like that or even a goal review, it should go to Toronto.
Like, why are you getting... And they're on this little fucking... Like, there's a TV on the floor here that's twice the size of the fucking iPad they're watching on. Yeah.
Okay. I've done the research.
Oh dear. That, okay. I can make sure that window's locked. I don't want to jump.
It was game 6 against Anaheim.
What?
And it was Chris Rooney.
What?
And it was Chris Rooney last night.
I'm upset.
Z5 confirmed.
What?
That's... It's wow. Just it's
good work on my material,
you know, and that's to me that's consistency.
He's consistently he's
consistently
bad.
Terrible,
right?
He's consistently
that's got an agenda against the Edmonton Oilers.
I think majority of fans would like to see how the NHL handles these situations mm-hmm. in a negative light, right? Like, where is the, you're not getting a suspension or this side of the thing. I want to see like a ranking or a grading after each game or even after a month or even after the season. I want to see tangible
relegation.
Yeah. Like I want to, yeah. Go back to the AHL. And then, what's wrong? Go back there and fucking sharpen your skills.
You're totally right, Rick. Like there needs to be a level of accountability.
And I'm not for having them in front of microphones every night. I think that's going too far, yeah. But I want to see the NHL go, you know what? We don't like this. It's human error. We get it. But this is what we're going to do. He's going to get, you know, 3 less games next month or something like that. Like this whole playoffs fucking next round, third round, fourth type of thing. Sure, but why are we waiting that long?
But you know what? The truth is that you look at other pro leagues like the NFL and the NBA, they have media scrums after the games with referees.
So I was just going to bring that up. Sorry.
The NBA has to, though. Were they match fixing there a couple years ago?
Well, like, yeah, that's a whole damn thing.
We got this comment on TikTok from someone named Emily, and she said, listening to 630 Chad, they brought up a good point. They should have the refs come out after a game and talk to the press about the goal and why it was goal or no goal. Just would be nice to see from a different perspective. Seems like a good idea.
Well, there is the tweet from the NHL that said what it was.
I think there's a
supervisor.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why the supervisor can't.
Yeah. Yeah,
can't
at the
take
very
a couple
least
questions.
Put him out in front
that's,
of it, right?
That's what I was gonna say.
He can deflect or whatever. Like, yeah.
Most of the time I would say, sorry Dan. Yeah, most of the time we don't care what they think, but on a night like last night, somebody's got
to
get home.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be naive of us to believe that the referees can articulate it into a point where the public can understand it. But I do think that there is a spot there. There's a position now where you could have a PR person.
We aren't
that
just
is
regular hockey fans though. But the higher IQ,
you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Give me all the fucking fancy words. No problem. I'll understand.
Social media has shown us, I think, that, you know, everybody, yes, that the people maybe in this room that you trust, yes, but there's a lot of mouth breathers out there that are just going to take what a referee says and warp it into what they didn't say and what they're, you know,
warp,
like all
they
those
can warp
issues.
In what they're not saying
but,
too, though.
But I just think that, it would eliminate a lot of what we as fans need to do is eliminate a lot of the criticism of the referees. And the league needs to be the ones that step in and say, this is how we're going to do it.
But the problem is that, again, there's no accountability. It's from the top down. How many times have we listened to Gary Bettman come on and be like, yeah, we got no problems with the referees when there's very apparent issues?
Just admit it once in a while, Gary.
Just
admit it.
Like, you know what?
We're not perfect.
We gotta work on some shit.
Well, it was back in the...
I get it. I agree with that then.
But that's where to me, like, I hate sitting in an arena where the entire crowd is just chanting "ref, you suck" all the time because it's just
boring. They deserve it.
It's I love a good bullshit.
But they do deserve it, and that's what we're saying is that that's the one way that fans can have their two cents heard by a ref.
Sorry, Dan. I just remember back to that, you know, Nail Yakupov years ago. We did the knee slide, and just prior to that, they disallowed the goal, and they were just like throwing beers at the refs.
That game
stuff.
Was nuts,
dude. Like, well, you were like, and I don't know how young you were at this time because this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But there's the Mick Magoo, Horkoff had the choked
that.
Up on his
I've
stick,
heard about that.
And Mick Magoo was so adamant. You used your hand. Both hands were on the stick. It was nowhere near that. Yeah, no, yeah. Mick Magoo, we've had an issue with that guy for a long, long, long time.
Well, you know who we don't have an issue with, Dan? Our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, anything you need, they've got a product to make sure you are covered in your life. Just head on over to cornerstoneins.ca. Get yourself a quote right on the website. Everything you need to do is right there. Citizens of the Nation, there is a button. You can click on it and you'll get a discount just for listening to this podcast. How easy is that? If Tyler was here, he would tell you it's very easy because they insured the Nation Truck. CornerstoneINS.ca. Dan?
Yeah, I was just to round that point off, it's it can't be easy being a referee at this point, right? Like, it can't be easy trying to, you know, like, they came together, they did the right thing, quote unquote, they worked together to try and come to this solution, and we're still talking about it today. And I think that that's the key is, and what I was going to say to Zach is, like, you know, that mentality of, yeah, we should just move on from it, and that's what Bettman wants us to do. It shouldn't be the case, because you're not going to get any change if that's the way we continue to go.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat, really.
Yeah.
I was trying to say it's up and down like a toilet
that's
seat.
That's what I was
couldn't
thinking.
Couldn't hear that one. All right, let's move on to some more positive news, because the refs are always going to be annoying, and they probably always will be. But what is not annoying is watching Connor McDavid on his Rocket Richard bid. 8 goals, 8 games, already got 2 hat tricks on the season. Rick, is this the year that he finishes atop the goal scorers race?
I think so, man. Like, I know we've wanted it for a while, and I think, like, it has to be in his head. Literally, so? Regardless of what, no, he has to sit there and want to take it.
I was going
to
say, too, I agree.
He, if he wants to...
Connor would never admit probably that he really wants the Rocket Richard. I think there'd be
certain people around that he'll
admit
that
stuff. I bet he would tell Leon. I bet he would tell some of his close friends or whatever, but Lenny. You know he wants it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lenny knows all the secrets.
Oh, yeah.
He wants it, and I don't care what anybody says. But he's playing like he wants it.
He's going to take it. I mean, I noticed last night Leon isn't shooting.
Yeah.
He's not shooting.
I noticed a lot of guys aren't shooting enough, though, but that's just me.
Start of the year.
I want them to be more selfish always.
Well, Leon's shooting, but he's missed the net on a couple. Yeah,
well, the interesting thing, Zach, is like,
right
from his office too, like where he's automatic. Like last night he had one where there was a sliver there for him to hit and he fired it up probably 5-6 feet over the net. That doesn't happen.
Hit the damn organist.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Slap shot style.
Yeah.
But that'll come. Cause like he got the game winner at the end from the same spot.
But we love how Connor does this like quietly, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like you'll sit there and how many times have you looked at the game, watched the whole game? You're like, all right, that was a good game. Love that. You go back and you look at these stats and you're like, 5 points?
For so real? Quietly. Yeah. Like last
night, how?
We've just come to expect Connor to get 4 points every night. And it just, again, I'm going to take a second right here. Enjoy what you're watching because this guy is an absolute freak out there.
We're watching something very special.
We're watching something with both incredibly those guys together. Special.
And Coombs, you brought this up on the day after. It's kind of odd because just recently we had a little bit of a quiet period from Connor McDavid where 2 nights he went pointless and they only had 1 point the other night. And now all of a sudden, 5 point night.
He's on pace for 150 points and 82 goals this season.
Yay.
Which I say he does
which
it.
Which is funny though, because you're like, okay, he's not getting 82, but 150?
Well, it's interesting.
No reason why not?
So if you look at the analytics of his shots per game are down from his career average. His shots per hour are down, but he's shooting 27%
goals
to start
per, yeah, I was going
to
say his goals per right? shot are like through the roof.
Yeah, then. His goals per 60 are through the roof. So it's like, okay, so is he either on a heater right now, or is he going to have one of these years where he shoots 20, 22%? Like Leon Draisaitl is like a career 20% guy. And to be a, like, there's no career 20% shooters, no. right?
I remember the first time Leon shot around 20%. Everybody's like, oh, that's never going to happen again. And then he just keeps doing it over and over and over.
I just think that Connor with purpose is better at everything. And if he goes into this
not
and,
close,
and Leon, without purpose, he's better.
I saw it in a little, I think it was a pregame video or something at the Oilers game, the Penguins game maybe. And Leon was saying that they've been talking this offseason about shooting McDavid, just shooting more. And like you saw it last night with that goal in the third period, like that was unreal.
The third goal?
Yeah. The
hat-trick goal?
Or no, the second one.
The second one?
Over the shoulder.
7 or 8.
The second one is the one that hits Stalock in the head.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yes. Not that one. The one where he snipes it top shelf.
That was a bullet.
Tucks it underneath the post.
Yeah.
Good luck being an NHL goaltender and trying to stop that.
Doesn't matter who.
So he's shooting, I think I would say 25% is the low for him this year.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible. It happens. Guys have seasons that are outliers, and I think this is the year McDavid has his outlier.
He just picks them so well. He's like, I can score from here. Okay, I'll shoot.
If he decides that he wants to score 50 goals, he will score 50 goals. It is as simple as that.
Barring any injury, knock on wood, right? Like,
yeah,
don't
put that evil on us, Ricky Bobby.
I try to be realistic, all right? Yeah, okay.
Were you not watching the game against, was it Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Were you watching that first period when he went sliding into the post?
Worse.
I still have only taken 3 breaths since.
Worse.
You're as cold as ice.
We don't even mention those things.
Tyler's not here.
Podcast.
I'm touching all the buttons.
Go giving us a throwback to Power 92.
Huge producer guy.
Well,
over
since
here
you brought up Drysdale also, I remember last year he was like, people were wondering, oh, can you get 50 and 50?
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I was pacing for it for a little while.
Yeah.
But like with Connor, he's on another planet.
But he always is. But he's choosing to shoot now. Mm-hmm. When he gets to these spots, he's choosing to shoot. Like the third goal last year, easily could have seen him deke the one player and then fake a shot and go short side to Kaner, or throw it to the left to his little buddy over there and let Leon pop one for his birthday goal.
Like that's the thing. That's the thing about McDavid is he's just so talented. Mm-hmm. He can shoot 25% this year. Like he doesn't have to have a high shot rate.
He's getting better every year too.
It's like, I feel like he plays the game to the point where he's like, okay, how do I make the game easier for myself and my teammates? Yeah. It's wild.
He always, and I've said this joke a bunch of times before, but he looks like when you're a little kid and your older brother comes out to practice with you and he's just way better than everybody because he's 5 years older. That's what Connor looks like at the NHL level.
It's right through.
And then playoff Connor's different sauce, I swear.
I want to stick with heaters though, because I got to. My boy Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, another 3-point night last night for the kid. He has got 5 goals, 6 assists in his last 6 games, 11 points on the year. Zach, what do you make about Nugent's hot start to the season?
On pace for 120 points.
Let's go, baby.
He's having a year. Like it's,
that's crazy.
Like we talked about this a little bit on the Beatcast last night. It's incredible to see the way he's evolved his game over time. And I think he's better suited as a winger than he is a centerman. Like wingers have less responsibility, and it just seems like it allows Nuge to be a little less stressed out on the ice. He has a little less to worry about.
It allows him to be a little more offensive and use those offensive skills. Too often he tries to be the responsible, overly defensive one. And now that he's out there on the wing and doing this and with quality fucking line mates, mm-hmm. He can go back to, and you have to find that offense again, right? So if he's starting to find that offense again, what were you talking about a little while ago? 70 points?
Yeah, I said before the start of the season, I said like, if he ends up somewhere around 25 goals and 70 points, I'd be super pumped on that.
Easy.
And I still would.
Dude, I think he can get close to a point per game this year if he keeps playing like this.
I'd love it. I'd love it. We need a little bit of luck.
How many people are out there? See, now we got to move that Nuge contract is getting in the way because there's the first two games of the year. We're not looking so hot.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
I would say I'm a little bit disappointed in him and Hyman because I think that they could do even better with more time with McDavid. I honestly do. Like Hyman yesterday had 2 golden chances where he just whiffed on the puck, and
that's
Nuge.
What makes them a Hyman and not a McDavid.
But him and Nuge together, I think, the two of them, we're going to see what we saw against Chicago more, where McDavid is just going to fly the zone and find them in an open spot. And those are two of the smartest guys on the team. And so for me, that's a perfect spot for a Nuge. I don't think Nuge has necessarily the finish to drive his own spot, but where McDavid is finding Nugent Hopkins and where Nugent Hopkins knows to go, he's going to be able to.
The thing about Ryan Nugent Hopkins playing with Connor McDavid is that he's probably, and Leon too, one of the guys on the team that can think like Connor does on the ice. Even though he doesn't process as quickly as Connor does, he knows where Connor needs him to be. And another thing that I like about Nuge is that sneaky little wrister is starting to come back out.
He's
again.
He's got that shot, man.
He does.
I think the thing, like, that top line's going to be a problem.
Both lines are.
Real both problem. Lines are.
The but top I, nine's a problem.
Well, yeah. I mean, and Ryan McLeod on the third line, that we could but talk for hours
once
about
they
that.
Get, once they really start to, Puljujärvi joins those two and they start to really get a feel for each other, where they are in the offense, because they're still a little broken up right now. Mm-hmm. Once those three guys figure each other out, this top nine is going to be, it's going to be scary.
But like, I look at the top line and I say, okay, McDavid is McDavid, obviously. Zach Hyman creates space by being physical and going to the dirty areas and drawing guys in. He's a vacuum. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, he's just so goddamn smart. He just finds these sneaky little ways to find himself in the right position. Like, how many backdoor goals has he scored this year already? Two, three?
Because
like,
he had, the, but he's, that's just it. He's a secondary player on almost, when he's a secondary player on every line he's at, that's terrifying for the other team.
100%. And that's why I think that line is just so damn effective, right?
Like, and he can pass the puck as well as he shoots it too.
Absolutely.
So once everyone's like, oh, he's going to shoot it, and they start overcommitting the shot, he's going to fire it back door again to someone else, and Leon's going to pop these things in.
Absolutely.
Well, there was that 4-on-3 power play goal that the Oilers scored last night where it was McDrynuge, the three of them, just kind of whipping it around the Chicago.
Did you see who is the net front on each of those?
Was that old man Bush
and Barry both times? It was, but that was just the way the play. That's what happened though, right? Shit. That's the way they set it up, and that guy comes in and he's in front of the net all of a sudden.
But what a gift that we've got those three guys like on the power play where they just pump it around the zone to each other. They all know where each other's going to be. All can pass beautifully.
Well, I can't remember which one it was. There was that one power play where the Oilers held the zone for like the full 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, it was just watching them rifle the puck around. Like, what a disaster for another team to have to deal with. Like, what a problem, right? Like, it's insane. And hey, Oilers are third in goals scored this year in the league so far. The offense is there.
Always there. Once they figure out that defensive side of things,
yep,
it can be scary.
I want to flip to a couple of guys that I would love to see get a goal, just because it's not that I don't think that they're playing well. I'd love to see them get one to get a little bit of confidence going. And that would be Kyler Yamamoto and Warren Fogle. I think those guys have got all kinds of hustle. They've gotten chances. They've gotten shots. Just can't get one to sink yet. And I think once they do, it's going to do a world of good. What do you think about those two guys, Waz?
Yamamoto, I think, has been working pretty hard, but I don't know if he's been, I don't know, he's weird with the puck. It feels like he just misses a net. Like, he gets streaky. Chances, but yeah, he's streaky. Streaky. It's like,
that's what secondary players are.
You know, I think Tyler brought this up in the last episode of Oilers Nation Radio. It's like where people criticize Jesse Puljujärvi, but they kind of don't criticize Yamamoto as much. But like, he has been playing well, so it'd be good to see get him a goal under his belt. And I'd love to see Warren Fogle get a goal, definitely.
Both of those guys, I just think that they've had their chances.
Fogle's playing much better than he did pretty much any time last year.
Amen. And I just, again, he's a guy, once he gets his first one, I think he'll feel a whole lot better about himself.
He's really settled in, right? Like, yes. He's a guy who scored 20 goals in Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, no, he's produced in the past, right?
Now that he doesn't have Yaremchuk to, bring all this negativity over him.
I like Fogle. I think that the players around him like him as well. He's good in the locker room, so he's one of the boys.
That ever played in the NHL and boiled them down to like one guy, it's Warren Fogle. Like, he's just like the perfectly like average hockey player.
He's a great dude because he drives a pickup truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was Pierre, I think, on TSN, who was talking about him years and years and years ago. That's why Carolina was so good. They had a bunch of guys who drove pickup trucks.
Maybe no. Credit to Ken Holland for getting Warren Fogle in that deal.
Yeah, I mean, liked it.
I mean, you look at Ethan Bear got traded again today with another player for a fifth round pick. So if you think about just a year ago, the Oilers getting Warren Fogle straight up across, all of a sudden that trade looks better from our end, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like, I feel bad for Ethan Bear because I do think he's a really good player.
Always
cheer for
him.
He's just had some tough luck. Yeah. Like the first half of last year with Carolina, he was playing on the top pair with Jacob Slavin.
It has to be more than bad luck though.
Well, I think so too, right? You know, he got COVID, then he got a concussion, and then he couldn't even make it into the lineup over fucking Brendan Smith in the playoffs, for God's sake, right? Like, I think for him, I think this is the perfect opportunity for him in Vancouver.
Hopefully,
he's going to go there. He's going to play top six or top 4 minutes for sure.
Hopefully, because unfortunately for a guy like that, if you're having problems cracking an NHL roster at his exact age, the door is closing really, really fast at this point.
100%.
I will always cheer for Ethan Bear. I hope he pulls it all together in Vancouver. I'd love nothing more than to see the Canucks outscore the opposition 2-1 when he's on the ice, but when he's not off the ice, they just get lit up.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that's fair. Dan, thoughts?
Yeah, it's I hate that this is going to probably fire up the Fogle versus Bear debate for a while longer. I guess it's because Fogle is
always going to be
Fogle's there. But you know, I just made a meme about it earlier this week about going from, we go from the Puljujärvi Yamamoto debate to the Fogle Bear debate, and it just feels like we go back and forth. I'm just, like you said, Bag Milk, just cheering for Ethan Bear when he's not playing the Edmonton Oilers. And for the Vancouver Canucks, I mean, like this should be the perfect opportunity for them with the injuries to the blue line. Plus, they just don't have a lot of depth on that blue line as it is. They got their first win last night, and now they got Ethan Bear on the team.
Gentlemen, let's get to a couple of Ask the Idiots questions. Of course, you guys have submitted to these to me throughout the week. The boys have not seen any of these, so I'll get their first reactions. I need you to go to twigandberries.ca, though. Use the promo code NATION15. Get a discount on your order. ODR season is coming. It's beautiful today.
Gorgeous.
Yeah,
fantastic. But soon enough, you will be on that ODR, and you need an ODR hoodie to complete the experience. Go check them out, twigandberries.ca. Promo code NATION15 if you're out in St. Albert. Just stop in store. Stop in store. Try that stuff on. Zach, I'm going to start with you just because I'm going to make my life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Last night in Buffalo, Jeff Skinner scored a goal and had Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody pump out as his individual goal song. I'd love for the Oily Boys to pick their own, but until then, I need the guys on the podcast to come up with their own goal or walkout music. What do you got?
Africa by Toto.
I knew you were going to say Africa by Toto.
That's the easiest answer. It's the best song to ever exist, guys.
It's very, very on brand for you, and I very much appreciate it. Waz, what do you got for a goal song for yourself?
A goal song. This is tough to say because I'm a big Eminem guy, so I don't want to go to Eminem just straight away.
Cleaning out my closet?
Even though, I mean, that'd be something, I'll be honest.
What? Kim, that one where he's just like savage against his ex-wife.
Yeah, I mean, there's also Fak, but you know. I'll go Cinderella Mad by Eminem, actually. I always like that. I used that in NHL 10 for whatever reason, and it just rocked. It was fantastic.
Good track.
Rick?
Yeah.
We did this before, and I said it would just because, you know, just the way the Rick name and the Ric Flair and the Ric Flair drip, I think that we'd have to go with that for a bit.
Hell
like
yeah. That Dan? One rules.
Yeah.
Well, I've thought about this a lot, so I already have it queued up. This piano hits when I score.
Oh, that the wrestling thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Rude.
Oh, somebody uses that, don't they?
No idea. I can't stop it. Somebody? I'm sorry. There we go.
Doesn't the team use that or something?
I don't think so. Nobody's ever touched it. I don't think so. He kind of disappeared from the WWE too. So
another good one. If you're going to take WWE, could you imagine you score and you get the Austin glass break?
Yeah. WWE.
What about you?
I've got it on the button board here. I've said it before. Mims, this is why I'm hot.
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
The Stone Cold glass should be how the team enters, though.
That'd be good. Like, Zach, you made that meme in the playoffs of Mike Smith coming back.
It's still my favorite thing I've ever done on Twitter.
When he comes back? It's so good.
J.R. Ross in the background. Oh, yeah. My God.
Reversing the order now. Ask the Idiots for our friends at Twig and Berries. Nation Dan, I'm starting with you. Who are you more comfortable with on tomorrow night's Battle of Alberta? Super Stu.
It's not really a comfort thing. It's just that I'd like to see Calgary get a change up and go with some stew instead of the soup.
Rick?
I really think it's about how the five guys in front of them play as opposed to the goaltenders. I think the goaltenders have both been pretty solid. But I've been pushing the dude's train for a while now, so I'm going with the local kid.
You're ordering some stew off the menu?
A little bit of stew for Rick. Waz, what do you got?
I'll go stew as well, just because, I mean, Calgary changed it up. They went to Vladar last time, and it'd be interesting to see if they go again with Vladar and have a battle.
Oh, it's so close.
Damn it.
The DVD.
Sorry, Waz. I saw it.
That is some good audio listening for our listeners.
We need a gigantic mirror right here.
Yeah. Hey, that's more worthy than my answer, so, you know, I'll fair that. But yeah, I'll go stew. Also, I want to see the battle of the backups, because we usually never see that, like two backups going at it. So
Zach, Super Stew.
I hate to be the guy that's going to go with Skinner as well, but I think right now you have to, and I think the way you have to do this goalie rotation is you just go back and forth between them. One but game do for you each change, guy. Like,
but you, do you go one for one, or do you go WWW once you get an L, then you swap?
I think you go one for one for a bit.
Yeah.
Like, I do. I think Skinner's playing really good. I think Campbell struggled to find some consistency. Like, Campbell's had three games over 914 and three games under 900, like, for save percentage. So, like, I think Campbell's going to be fine this year, but I think right now you just go one for one all the way.
And
the
Cam,
for a while at least.
Cam brought us up on the day after, plus, like, Stuart Skinner just playing better right now. You go with the hot hand, honestly, in a game like this.
I'll change it up. I'm gonna go to Jack Campbell because I love me a revenge tour.
That's true. That's a good one.
He got the early hook in the game on October 15th.
But it's all about the guys playing in front of him.
I was just gonna say a big part of the reason he got hooked was the guys in front of him. I'm going with a super revenge tour tomorrow in the Battle of Alberta. Waz, I'm gonna start with you. Question number three, ask the idiots for our friends at Twig and Berries. Let's
do it.
What Oilers prospect from the past did you wish had gotten more runway? My answer, the question submitter's answer, is Teemu Hartikainen.
Interesting.
It's a name I haven't heard in a while.
An Oilers prospect. Can I go with a recent one?
Sure.
Because he's performing very well in Russia right now.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Ilya Konovalov.
That's fair. That's a good pick.
I don't like the current goalie tandem we right now have in the ECHL, AHL level, and I feel like Konovalov really just needed a little bit more time. I feel like we gave up on him. I don't know if that's the full story, though, is it?
Did we give up on him? No, I think
he kind of chose to go to play. Yeah, he wanted to get some more ice time over there. We're going with Ollie and Pickard right now, right?
Yeah,
because Fanti went down and then to ECHL.
Yeah.
How about the Matej Blumel guy in Dallas?
Well, he was a guy that just didn't get signed.
Yeah,
and then the rumor was that they just forgot they had to. But
and then the Dallas Stars just dressed him for his first NHL game.
The old fax machine wasn't working down at the Oilers' offices.
The dial up sometimes. Mom's on the phone. You can't get on the internet.
Yeah, I don't see how he fits in our roster right now. Anyway, so
Rick, who's a prospect you thought needed more runway?
Well, I don't know if he's a prospect. We're going back a while. I don't even think you were alive yet.
Probably not.
but we gave up on him too quick, and he took off. But it's Ray Whitney.
No, I know the name.
Man, that is just like
that's a deep cut right there.
That is the worst goof up like of all time.
Like they didn't let. He was too small. Blah blah blah. I can't exactly remember what all the negatives for him were, but they shipped him out, and that guy was gold.
Dan, you got somebody?
Well, we signed him as a free agent here at the Nation Network, but my prospect always was Rob Shrimp.
Yeah.
I always want to give Rob Shrimp more runway. That's why he's now at the Nation Network, is because Dan follows him everywhere and gets him in. But it's Rob Shrimp for sure. And then another guy I liked was Tony Rajala. He was drafted by the Brandon, or picked from the Brandon Wheat Kings, and then he got a mutual termination of contract with the Oilers and went to Europe. And he's like he was a point per game guy in the AHL, and he's a point per game guy in every league he's played in since then. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean a lot.
No, of course.
Yep. There's been a lot of
point per game. And when you ask for a mutual release from your team, you obviously don't have it. You know, you don't want to be a part of it as well.
And because he didn't like find a different team in the league just to run with.
Yep. Zach, you got a prospect that sticks out to you?
Yeah, and I don't know like how much he would be considered a prospect per se, because like he got some good time in the NHL. But the guy I really liked was Anton Slepyshev.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Like, I really liked him in that playoff run in 16-17. Yeah. I thought he was a really good depth player. He had a great shot. He was a physical player. And I don't know why the relationship ever ended, but I know there was some rumors about the Oilers maybe trying to bring him back. But he was a guy that I really liked, and I think he would have fit in well on this roster over the last 4, 5, 6 years.
That's fair. I liked him. He's a good dude.
I don't know if more runway is the right word or description of this guy I'm thinking of, but man, I had high hopes for Marc-Antoine Pouliot, you know?
High hopes for guys? Because, I could give you a whole yellow pages.
Well, I'm just trying to think of a guy who I just think that didn't get the chance he needed, and I don't know that. I don't know if he fits in there, but I don't know. This is a hard one for me. There's been so many prospects that have come and gone over the years, especially in the decade of darkness that I'm gapping.
Every time I hear you yell about the thing on the screen, I assume there's a big bug in the room. And it's Bag Milk freaking out about the bug.
Good times.
Tyler Buns.
Sells cars.
Well, there was a bunch of goalies at that time, Jeff Drouin, Laurier,
Olivier,
a bunch of guys that we ruined by not having a farm team for 2 years.
But to be fair, none of those guys found like work in the NHL
because we ruined them
outside the roster. Bunzi, there were guys in the upper office who didn't really like Bunzi, so there was they kind of held him back a bit. He wasn't even allowed to go to the end of Rexall. He wasn't invited to that. Yeah.
A little breaking news here on Oilers Nation Radio.
So not always once an Oiler, always an Oiler.
They did not invite him to that.
Once an Oiler, mostly always Oilers.
Last question for the idiots, for our friends at twigandberries.ca. Dan?
Yes.
Which non-star Oiler has been the most impressive so far?
Brad Malone.
I do like the way he sits in the press box.
He's been pretty impressive. Non-star, I think it's Markus Niemelainen. Markus Niemelainen came up from his call-up, and I have not heard one lick of a complaint about him. If anything, I've been happier with his ability to just take the body, but never be out of position.
The best thing about him was the fact that we went 12-6 last night and played him as a six. I think anytime we play a lower category team, we need to go 12-6 and allow him to get those actual minutes in. When we're playing the top guys, let's go 11-7 and be able to shelter him a little bit.
I like that.
Rick, who impressed you the most that is not a star player?
Well, he's not a star, but he's a star. He's a star coming, man. It's Ryan McLeod. Like, that dude does everything out there. I know he was doing it last year, but he's solid 5-on-5. He skates like Connor almost, right? He flies out there. He's on the second power play. He's out there killing penalties. As a second-year player, or, you know, 1.25 years in, how can you ask for anything more than a...
And the emergence of McLeod has allowed for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to slide into his spot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
100%. So, I mean, the people that this week alone were trying to get rid of Ryan McLeod was outstanding.
Why?
It's beyond me. Feeling the general consensus, but Rick, great pick by you.
Thank you.
Was?
Yeah, I'm going to go the same with Rick. I mean, he's not paid like a star, but he's playing like one. And I often call him McDavid Light with the way he skates and just moves the puck. Yeah. Like, it's gotta be McLeod right now.
Zach?
McLeod would be my first choice, but I'm going to go just a little off with Stuart Skinner.
That's a good show.
Skinner's looking really good right now, and it looks like the Oilers actually have a legit 1A, 1B tandem. I mean, Mikko Koskinen, it's a great thing. Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith were allegedly a 1A and 1B, but they really felt more like a 1B and a 1C in a sense, right? Like, neither of them really had the upside to
consistently. When they were on their game, they were playing like a 1A, but consistently they were a 1B, 1C.
But the problem was that, you know, they'd have 10 games of being a 1A, but then they'd have 10 games of being a 1C.
Yep.
And for Skinner right now, again, super small sample size, but he looked really good last year. He's looking really good to start this season.
He's looked good every step of his career. Absolutely. He's earned every next step. He hasn't had forced into a spot because somebody left. He's earned every step. He could have been doing what he's doing right now this time last year.
Mustache game elite.
Oh, great.
Incredible. 10 out of 10.
And I think that's what's really important about Skinner too, is the fact that he's earned this opportunity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's an Edmonton boy, but he hasn't been gifted anything. He worked his ass off. As soon as someone says,
oh, now you got a $5 million, your goaltending combo, if they cost you less than $6 million and they're going to get you north of 9-10, 9-15, you're laughing. Well, I don't care. I don't care who plays what.
Skinner's an RFA at the end of the year, right?
That's fair.
So
he's not going to get that much.
He ain't going anywhere.
2.25, 2.5
and probably, 2 years? And probably 2 or 3 years of that.
Let's say he takes a hometown discount.
There's no need for it.
Even if he doesn't, they come in under $8 million for their tandem. You're in a great spot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And at the same time, I think, Zach, you mentioned this during free agency. What's the average salary of a starting goaltender in the NHL?
$5 million.
Exactly.
Average?
That's the average across the entire NHL is $5 million. According to, I think it was Thomas Drance from The Athletic.
Does anybody else feel like goaltending... The whole goaltending team in the NHL now is a lot less than what it used to be.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
They were talking on TSN yesterday who would be Canada's goaltender.
Ned Binnington is their guy.
And that scared the shit out of me.
Well, right nuts. Now.
That scared the shit. No, but we grew up in a time when
Patrick Waugh,
every fucking team in the league had a fucking top end goaltender. Waugh to Brodeur to Hasek. I mean, Belfort, Turco. You can go on for days and days and days. And now I feel like the goaltending community is just so underwhelming right now.
Well, you look at the 2010 team, was like Fleury, Price, and Brodeur.
Well, yeah. I think that...
Don't forget our boy got a fucking medal.
Oh, Mike Smith as well in 2014. Yeah, he was pretty good. So
yeah.
I think that goes into a bigger conversation about the cost of equipment and the cost of accessibility for players when they're younger. And I think that this country is on a whole has a problem with that.
But let's not look at the top end equipment.
It happened. It just happened. I watched it. It hit the corner. I just watched it. Waz, you need to clip that later. It happened.
I'll try my best. Yeah. I mean, for audio listeners,
it was when Dan was talking about the equipment.
I feel like the audio listeners are very confused.
Well, everybody who posts pictures and like, oh, look at the prices and stuff. You're looking at the top of the line stuff.
Of course you are.
And I think it was Anthony Stewart.
It's still way too much.
Who came out the other day and said, hey, listen, like, and he shot it down right away. He's like, these are the skates I played with. Here's my stick, blah, blah, blah. I get it. The top end stuff's always expensive. And yes, hockey is far too expensive to play, period.
Well, it's been expensive.
But you don't have to buy the $400 sticks.
But to be at that level,
you've got a family, right?
No, you don't. You don't have to buy the $400 sticks to be at the top level.
To be able to compete with everybody else.
Well, yeah. No.
Maybe nowadays.
I mean, old Wooden Sherwood.
I just think
there's so many players who use that top end equipment who don't utilize it. Like, well, it's like me and my stupid iPhone. Like, I use it for whatever, 13% of what it can do, probably.
Yeah.
But I need to get the best one all the time.
I just think that hockey is so expensive in general
that we're probably
losing our best athletes. Like, Waz does the 90th minute with his boys and Sunday League pundits. And I think of soccer. If you're talking about a barrier to entry for a sport, all you need is a ball.
Well, yeah.
So that's why I think like in Canada, especially, you're going to have more people turning to soccer because it's just way easier and more affordable.
And
not the game easier, just easier to play.
The debate of the cost has been about skaters. We're not even talking about goalies.
Oh, equipment is
right.
And equipment is ridiculous. It is. There's no denying that.
So where I have issues, Rick, is that, in the past, and like I said, I can go into this in another episode somewhere else. But like Hockey Canada a couple years ago decided that it was because we were bringing in European goaltenders into the CHL. So they banned European goaltenders from the CHL as a response. Don't have answers.
That is part of it though. Like, I'm not saying that's the biggest thing, but I mean, you've all sorts of, local domestic leagues that only allow a certain amount of imports all over the world, whether it be, you know, there's only each team in Europe is only allowed to have so many Canadian people because they want to encourage that out of their own people.
Yes. But I don't think that that's the, like to me, on a hockey basis, we have to go deeper than the surface, which that's what, to me, that's skimming the surface of the problem. Those goalies that are great in Europe that are coming to the CHL already exist. Because the European countries have created them. We've seen it with Finland and we've seen it with Sweden. Huge influxes of those goalies and Russians now too.
Vasilevsky.
Russians are.
I wonder though if there's part of it where it's like the best players on earth are skaters. So when you're a kid, you're like, I want to be Connor McDavid. Yep. Whereas when I was a kid, maybe there was a lot more, I want to be Patrick Waugh.
There are a lot of Hall of Fame goaltenders playing there.
And there's definitely an element, I think, of cyclicalness of sports. Yeah. Good one for me to try and say. But I think that you will, I think you're right, Bag Milk, you will start to see that trend go back this way. But I just think that in this moment, we have to address it deeper than that.
Yeah, I mean,
but anyways,
it's stupidly expensive.
Hey,
it's insane. There's got to be something that can be done.
Yeah,
but this is the world now. We all buy the fucking nicest shit out there. So so charging it is.
We fixed refereeing and goal or the cost of hockey on this podcast.
Video games are expensive too now. Okay.
Yeah, they are expensive.
Yeah, because we got to pay your guys' damn contracts out there. All these fucking video game kids getting paid $20 million to sit in front of a TV.
$90 for Call Jesus.
Okay, well, we missed out because Vimy Ridge Academy here in Edmonton just announced their own esports program. I could have made that esports program when I was a kid.
Dude, if you said when I was going to school that, hey, listen, you can go to a school where you're going to learn how to play Madden 14 better.
I wish.
Buddy, I'd be...
Oh, my God. Imagine the classrooms where you're freaking down. This building would
be
mine.
It'd just be a big house.
Oh,
I ruled at NHL 94. Like, dude, I was crushed.
The Madden franchise? Oh, I was Dan Marino-esque.
Let's finish off the podcast with some hot and cold performers with our four friends at Canada Snowboard. Experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here at Edmonton. Heightened Fan Experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders on earth go head-to-head in the largest stadium big air contest Canada has ever seen. It's happening right here on December 10th at Commonwealth Stadium. Go get your tickets at Ticketmaster. as we do every week, we start off with our veggies. I've got my buttons ready over here on the board. I'm Matt. Tyler tried to prevent me from learning how to use this board. I just did on my own. Fuck you, Tyler.
What a jerk.
Honorary cold performer. Zach, we're going to start with you. Your Canada snowboard cold performer of the week.
My cold performer of the week is me, because I have been terrible on DraftKings lately. I have had a very bad run for like the last week or two.
Don't blame yourself. Blame the guys with the skates on their feet. Right, they're obviously the ones letting you down.
Yep. I'm upset.
Was your Canada snowboard cold performer of the week?
I'm going to go down the same path as Zach here.
You're going to blame him?
No, I started getting into betting.
It was.
What? Whoa. No, I started getting into betting and using the Betway app. And I've lost a couple bets here, so I've only won one bet out of like a couple dollars, so it's not looking good for me.
Just tell my shot props I'm red hot this year.
It hurts, Waz.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Rick, your Canada snowboard cold performer of the week.
This is something that's bugged me for a while, and now it bugs me even more because a different team got it. There's now a pregame show for the Vancouver Canucks. I believe there's one for the Flames. There's also a weekly show for the Flames on Sportsnet 2, if I'm not mistaken. I believe the Leafs got a pregame show. The rest of the teams, if I'm not mistaken, are on TSN, so Rogers can't fuck with them. But there's nothing we can do to get a pregame show.
Well, Oilers Nation.
Oilers Nation every day.
Fair, but I listen to that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now what am I going to do from 6:30 to 7?
It's fair.
It's absolutely ridiculous. You have one of the biggest fan groups in this city, or in the whole league, in this city. And they refuse to do anything to give to us. They expect us to show up. They expect us to watch it on Sportsnet, not on any of the streaming sites. But what do they do? What do they give us in return? Absolutely nothing. And even the guys on the some of the people on the panel are trash.
Boy,
like they need to do a little bit more work to give back to us. So boy, it's all on Sportsnet.
Oh boy.
That's
Nation,
a good one.
Nation Dan, your Canada snowboard cold performer of the week.
Well, Rick took most of my time, so I'm going to say I'm going to say Kevin Rooney, the referee.
Worse.
For me, I'm going to go with the Oilers here. 8 games for the boys, 8 games where they've allowed a penalty or a power play goal against. Oddly, they killed off 8 of 10 last night and their PK percentage rose, but it still bothers me that the Oilers have allowed a power play goal against in every single game.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
That's exactly what it sounds like after they after the other team scores a goal with me.
Yeah.
Let's finish off the podcast on a positive note. Nation Dan, your first Canada snowboard hot performer of the week.
Well, I'm going to take 2 off the board, Bag Milk, and I'm going to give it to both of our goalies for their performances this week. You know, for Jack Campbell coming in, having had a couple of shaky starts, not necessarily his fault, but righted the ship on that. And Stu, what can you say? Great outing for him. So both of our goalies get my hot performer of the week.
Feeling hot. Feeling hot.
Rick, your Canada snowboard hot performer of the week.
Well, he's a magnet for some of the negativity out there. And I don't believe any of it's not, a lot of it's not true. Some of it is true. And I know he has a really big contract right now, but he didn't go and sign that himself. It's Darnell Nurse right now. There are some people out there who refuse to give him any type of credit for doing anything out there. And all they do is watch all the little things and try and magnify all these little errors. So it's time to give back Nurse. He's the hot performer. It's getting hot
in here. So hot. Oh, sorry. I have to give a shout out for my cold performer of the week to the Calgary or the Colorado fans that got upset at the Flames for playing all the small things at their arena.
Everybody should go and play that now in your arena.
You
that
absolutely should. Fans.
Everybody
that's exactly play. It.
Good.
Great jam too. Great jam. Was?
My hot performer of the week, I'm going to go with a little boy by the name of Easton Otting, who's already won Halloween. I don't know if you saw the little thing I put on our Instagram that he shared with us. Essentially, his dad built him a costume because
he has some walking disabilities. So they built him something like a Zamboni, to build costume. Around everything for his wheelchair and whatnot. Awesome. So now he gets a fantastic.
Shout out to his dad. Shout out to him. Cause Halloween's on Monday and he's already won it. So fantastic costume. Shout out to you.
How do you know when that one's done?
Zach, your Canada snowboard hot performer of the week.
Oh my God, you guys.
I love this board.
Shit. I hate that I'm going to say this one, but I recently checked out Oilers Plus, and there's actually some pretty damn cool content on
it. No, there. Zach.
I know, I'm bad sorry. I hate it because I think it's pathetic that they've paywalled this. Mm-hmm.
But you should actually talk to some of the people that, like the lower end people, the foot soldiers, if you will, that have an opinion on it. And I've talked to one or two, and they kind of explained to me where they're coming from.
There's understand some cool stuff. More. Like, I watched the first two episodes. They have like the drop, they're calling it, which is like the old oil change.
Yeah.
So like the first two episodes were detailing like the Oilers season, Jay Woodcroft's hiring, and then the first round against LA. It's actually really well done. They've actually got all the old like documentaries on there. The boys on the bus, the oil change. There's some
time
cool
to remember.
There. Pardon me.
Time to remember.
Yes, there is. Time to Remember is on there. So I'm going to be getting a box of Kleenex this weekend and watching that because I'm going to cry. It's about Schmitty.
Oh! No, Time to Remember is the last Stanley Cup.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, shit.
It's,
I thought that was
like, a Schmitty one. It's the boys on the bus, but the next VHS.
Is this an ad for Oilers Plus or is this hot performers?
I also want Waz's, clipped for a button later.
He's a hot guy.
Hot, hot, hot.
He's a hot guy.
Nope. Sure. Time's come and gone, Waz.
Shout out to
Devin Dubnyk.
He's a hot guy.
Who's apparently retired now.
He's a hot guy.
You're gonna be a broadcaster.
He's not a hot guy.
Good for Dubby. A good dude.
Yeah. What?
Tall as a tree, though.
Double D's.
Oh. What? What?
Tyler's gonna be so pissed when he listens to the last part of this.
He's not gonna listen.
Nah, he's too cool for us.
They should be automatically like take over whatever he's listening to in the truck. They should just kick in automatically. If you have a company 100%. Vehicle and there's a podcast going on, radio should not even be an option.
I'm sure we could get in touch with our friends out at Sherwood Ford and hook something up. Make over there.
Just no matter what station it's on, it's always the latest episode of Owen Radio.
That's right.
Or it just circles through all the company's podcasts.
Once you've listened to them all, then feel free to hit up the radio. Yeah. But you need to listen to all of them start to finish.
Well, I feel like Tyler's soccer knowledge can be bumped up a bit, so maybe you can listen to one of our soccer podcasts.
He's got 250 some episodes of Oilers Nation Radio to get through first, Waz.
Oh, Jesus.
My Canada Snowboard Hot Performer of the Week is my boy. How could it not be? 11 points in his last six games, Ryan Nugent Hopkins. Great start to the season. Boy is looking good. My king is back. Yeah! Thank you, Lil Jon. Any final thoughts, boys? Before we wrap up this podcast.
Fuck Calgary.
Fuck Calgary forever. Score prediction for tomorrow night, Dan. We're going to be at the Crumble Dome.
Well, because our record is what it is, I'm just going to say 5-3 Flames.
How dare you. Rick?
He's a little backwards. He's going to be 5-3 Edmonton.
I like
Waz.
We'll go 3-0 Edmonton.
Ooh, spicy. I'll go 5-2. I think it's going to be a big night for the boys.
For the oily boys.
I think the boys are going to look at the first game on the 15th, get a little pissed off and go into the Saddle Dome with a chip on their shoulder. I'm going to say a big 4-2 win for the boys. And I also want to say thank you to DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Twig and Berries, and Canada Snowboard for making this all possible. And most importantly, you for listening. Please leave a review. Please subscribe. Please tell your friends. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out Dash.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some Nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.